the church actually teach and help the congregation to hear God's voice. Right? I mean, how often do we spend time wanting to hear God's voice? And like I said last week, if we could hear God's voice maybe 10% more, even 20% more, 30% more, 40% more, how would that affect your life? What would that happen with your love for the Lord? So the unbelief would be gone, right? So we're going to do day two. I just put those there. But then I was sharing, like, to be encouraging us to have a journal. Because when we go through the life applications, at the end of the journal, or actually the day one, right? Bible reading. But there's a time of application, applying what we have learned or what stood out to you. And we ask the Lord, Lord, what is it that you want to teach me? What is it that you want to reveal to me? Like I said before, we have so many great Bible devotions and stuff. But a lot of the time is that we read them and it may affect us for the moment here. And I always think about the farmer, it was in Mark, it talks about, and also in Matthew, it talks about how the farmer throws a seed, right? Now, what soil is that going to catch, right? And so we want to be on fertile ground so it produces 60 to 100-fold, 300-fold. Instead of being on rocky soil that, you know, the birds would come out and pick it up and we might receive it with great joy for a little bit, but then it just goes away. We want the Word of God to really take root in our life, that we're able to grow in godly character, to become more like Christ, to die to self. And then eventually the unbelief, when we have trouble believing, it's like, Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, I help me to understand your word and to apply your word and to really fall in love with your word. And I think the fear of chaos in the church I shared last week is just, a lot of the times the gifts of the Spirit have been misused, which has caused a lot of people kind of want to be shied away from it. So they've been misused in the church. But if it's a healthy foundation, that we would want to see the gifts of God used. But there has to be biblical foundation laid, right? And to know if it's biblical of that. So we didn't have one of these from last week. You don't have this week. You're supposed to be sharing with me, honey.
I'm just joking. I'll give it back.
So day two. So, Father, I just want to thank you, Father, for your word. And Lord, we pray that you would just minister to us by your Holy Spirit this morning. Lord, that our mind would be focused on you. And Lord, that our hearts would be turned to you. Lord, help us to only hear your voice today. And Lord, we just thank you that you're speaking to us. And Lord, as we hear your voice, help us, Father, to write it down and that we would not forget. And Lord, also that we would apply your word to our lives, to walk in a way that is honoring to you, that you'd be glorified and to be praised. Lord, help us to desire to yield to you. Lord, we thank you for the work you're doing in our lives. I thank you that you are continuing to sanctify us day in and day out. Lord, I thank you that you are at work in our lives, and thank you that you're wooing us to yourself. Help us, Lord, to respond to you wholeheartedly in Jesus' name. So So sometimes it seems as counterproductive to always point out the negative. But it's good to realize, to see maybe where we may be falling short, so that we could build up and say, you know what, I fall short on this area. I need to repent of it. I need to get right with you, God. Because God's goal is for us to draw closer to him. He doesn't want any blockages in our lives that are hindering us to grow closer to him. So if there's a sin that's kind of hindering us to grow, it kind of holds us back in a bit. Does that make sense? Right? I shared in Exodus 20, you know, the Ten Commandments. You know, it's like, love the Lord thy God with all our heart. Like, that's basically what we're supposed to, not have any other idols before him. Right? To apply. And so he wants us to have fruit in our life, not our own bearing fruit, his bearing fruit in our life, right? And that people see that change in our lives. So six more reads, talking instead of listening. Right? So we'll just keep on talking through prayer, but we fail to a lot of times to listen to what God is saying, right? Instead, when we go into prayer, we ask, Lord, help me to hear your voice this morning and to be still. Mm-hmm. And to say, Lord, I want to hear your voice. And sometimes we can say, Lord, here's what's on my heart. Mm-hmm. Right? But also, Lord, I want to be still before you, to listen to what you have to say, what's on my heart. So sometimes you can't pour out all your complaints. Because we just complain. We always look at the negative things. But say, Lord, help me to understand, why am I going through this difficulty? What are you trying to teach me in this difficulty? See, he's taking what we would naturally want to complain about. Because when we complain about something, what are we doing? Well, where's the focus?
It's on the issue.
It's on the issue and it's on us. Instead of looking to the source and saying, Lord, what are you... Sometimes we teach our kids how to live properly in life. And sometimes we allow them to struggle a little bit. And so what is God trying to teach us? To trust him. He has the best answer. And so sometimes we say, Lord, help me to know what are you trying to teach me in this circumstance? Help me, the Lord, to know that. Psalm 46:10, I have just put in New King James, says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. But are we willing to stop and listen? Sometimes that's hard. Right? What's that? Psalm 46:10. So number 10 would be being impatient and rushing ahead. I think sometimes we're good at that. Right? Not just a prayer. We'll fling up a prayer and ask God to bless it, but are we waiting on his timing? His timing is always perfect. Our timing is not so perfect. But we think it is. We think sometimes that I need to do it now. But what do we, as we wait on him and seek him, maybe he's preparing what is supposed to be coming ahead. I know he is, because he says he goes before us and prepares the way. So are we trying to take God out of the equation and put ourselves in the forefront? So impatient and rushing ahead. So how long are you willing to wait to hear from God, your good Father and the King of all existence? How long are you willing to wait on his voice? a minute, 5 minutes, 15. You know, Moses waited 6 days before God spoke. That was in Exodus 24, 15 to 16. It says, then Moses went up to the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. And now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for six days. And Moses stood outside that cloud for 6 days. He waited for six whole days. He's seen the presence of God, but then on the seventh day, God called Moses. And Moses responded and went in. Moses waited 6 days. And sometimes, I know it's hard to wait 5 minutes. But how long are we willing to wait on God? That's a question we ask ourselves. Like, Lord, help me patiently wait for you. To know that you are the one who's preparing the way. And I'm supposed to respond when you say, go ahead, move ahead. I'm supposed to say, Lord, thank you, you're preparing my steps. And Lord, I desire to walk, not in front of you, but I desire to follow you. Because as children of God, we are, we're followers of Christ. We follow after Christ. Followers of the way. We follow his example. We follow him. Does that make sense? And sometimes when we go ahead of him, we're like, Lord, bless this plan, bless this, bless this, bless this. And he's like, man, I'm not even in this. Why would I bless it? And then we have so much difficulty and trouble and get upset and bitter, resentful. Meanwhile, God's like, it might have seemed perfect timing for you. Everything might have been all that, but you weren't listening to my voice. In Proverbs 14, 26 to 27, it says, in the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. Oh, sorry, I'm going ahead myself. So fear of people, number 11, rather than fear of God. So I said I struggled with that one. A few years ago, I said, I had to repent of that, having fear of man instead of fear of God. And it's freeing when you don't have fear of people. It's freeing that you don't worry about what are people going to think of you. You don't have no fear of what people are going to say about you. It just kind of rolls off your back now. Right? It's freeing when you have no fear of man, but you have a healthy fear of God. A reverence for God. So if you're controlled of or controlled by other people, because even followers of Jesus, you know, you might have fear of them, what they're going to say, and that. If you're in the will of God, and they could be jealous of your relationship with God, how it's growing, and how intimate it is. Right? Sometimes people get jealous of your intimate walk with the Lord. So Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. You're trapped in chains when you're a people pleaser. That's pretty straightforward, right? So, it's like, Lord, help me. Lord, I repent of being a fear of man. Right? Lord, I repent of being fearful of man. I repent of being a people pleaser. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name, you break off the generational thing or just even the fear of man off of my life. And Lord, that you replace that fear of man and what they think with a healthy love for you, healthy respect for you, that you be the only one I would desire to know and to hear who I am in you. In Jesus' name. We break off those word things. There's a generational thing sometimes. So when we break off those things that hold us back, fear of man, it shouldn't hold us back anymore. but sometimes it has entanglements in our lives that God wants to break off, so you don't have a fear of man. So this is contrast to what you're... So Proverbs 14, 26, 27 says, in the fear of the Lord there is a strong confidence. It's amazing. When you have fear of the Lord, it brings confidence. It brings confidence of who you are in Christ. It brings confidence in knowing that you're in step with the Lord, that you're listening and following him. We're not waving back and forth, because if you're fearful of man, and then you're kind of one step, or I'm somewhat fearful of God, you're going to be tossed back and forth. But if you have no fear of man, and you're totally over here, you have confidence in God that he knows he's keeping you and he's sustaining you. And his children will have a place of refuge. So when we have a healthy fear of God, we have a place of refuge, of strength, confidence. The fear of the Lord is a foundation of life. To turn away from the ways of death. Right? When we have a healthy fear of the Lord, it brings life. So the fear of God is an attitude of respect, a response of reverence, wonder, and of awe. Are you in awe of God today? Do we have a healthy reverence for God? And so as we look into this and God is speaking, do I have a healthy reverence for God? Do I have an awe for him? Right? If I have a healthy reverence for God, I would not go into sin so easily. I will listen to his voice and not go that way. So is there anything in my life that I'm not properly seeing, which is taken away from my awe and worship of God? So as you listen to God's voice, he's going to speak to you and say, this is what is drawing you away from me. This is why you don't have awe of me or desire for me. Your love for me is growing cold. And I was thinking in Revelation this morning, just like that church. They came lukewarm. They lost their first love, their first desire. So is there anything, Lord, is in my life that has taken away the awe and the worship of you? And we could write that down. And this is why I love life applications. Because we have to spend time in this and reading through it and listening to God's voice. Getting right with him, it takes time to apply his word to our lives. He is the gardener. Our Heavenly Father is the gardener. John 15 talks about he is the gardener. He prunes whatever it is in our life. Are we listening? And he's also in John 15 says, if you continue in these, you will bear much fruit. So if we continue to abide in him, if we continue in him, we will bear his fruit. I love John 15. It talks about abiding in him. So what can I look at and meditate upon to renew my fear? What can I look upon to renew my fear? My awe for him. Is there any painful area in my life that I'm not letting God speak into? And sometimes we don't want God to speak to us because we were afraid. Because sometimes we build walls. How many of us know how to build good walls? A lot of times we build good walls, right? We don't want to get hurt again. We fortify it. It's like, how can I build a better wall? And God's trying to tear down this wall or take down this wall. Yeah. Right? And so sometimes when we have been hurt, we build walls. And God's like, I don't want you to build those walls. I want to take down these walls so you can have some. You will have freedom. So is there areas, is there a painful area in my life that I am not letting God speak into? And so that takes time of listening to God and his to his voice. He'll reveal a time, perhaps, it could have been, my goodness, like when you're 4 years old, 5 years old, and your subconscious has been buried, and the Holy Spirit reveals it and brings it up and says, here's a time where you kind of built this wall so you would not be hurt any longer. So is there any painful area in my life that I'm not letting God speak into? And how can God restore my awe in him? I think when we allow him to take down that wall, those barriers, then we're open and say, Lord, here I am. He knows our hearts. He knows our thoughts. He formed us in our mother's womb. He knows you better than you know yourself. So, right? So that's a good one to meditate on. Ask later on this week, today, even now. It's like, write down, what is it, Lord, that whatever hurt's been there, and it's freeing. And Lord, help me to help, Lord, I thank you that you reveal this lie, right? This hurt. And I pray, Lord, that you replace it with your truth. And help me, Lord, to believe that truth more than the lie. So there's a step. There's more to it than that, right? There's a boat. When we did, I want to do the set free, so it's a, the spiritual card, and then we could be able to pray and ask the Lord. It's better to start knowing, hear God's voice clearer, so when we do hearing God in set free, then you could actually say, yes, Lord, thank you that you're speaking to me, and it comes up, and you get right with God even more so. So you're freed from that bondage. Something not to be fearful of. We should be saying, thank you, Lord, that you love me so much that you want to heal me from my hurts. Thank you that you want me to be set free. That's a loving Father. So Satan tries to keep us from hearing. So how does Satan try to help you from hearing, not hearing? How does he do it? He babbles in your ear. He lies. Yeah. What else does he do? How does Satan try to keep us from hearing God's voice? So procrastination. Maybe distractions. Work, yeah, TV, music, yeah. So he tries to keep you from hearing God's voice. He doesn't want you to hear God's voice, because what happens when God's children hear his voice? What happens? What happens to the children when they recognize their father's voice? They run to him. Well, if they will listen, because you're running to him, right? You respond quicker, right? And because of your awe and love for him, you're going to listen to his precepts. You're going to listen to his laws, because out of love and adoration for him. I mean, if I, when I think about it, when I sin and I go against what God has said is true, I'm thinking, Lord, I'm not really loving you, because if I loved you, I would not go into that sin so freely. And so that's a check in my heart. It's like, Lord, I'm not loving you as I should be loving you. Because if I really loved you, I wouldn't go in that sin so easily. Forgive me for being disobedient, rebellious. So it's fascinating that people are good at listening at the devil's voice. I find that so amazing. That's why he's the great deceiver. And so, no, he tells you what you want to hear. So when he says such things, you're not beautiful, you're not smart enough, nobody likes you. When he sows doubts in your mind, yeah, but, yeah, wait, yeah, you don't measure up. Are you sure? Did God really say that? He'll put these doubts in your mind. And what are we supposed to do when those doubts come? 2 Corinthians. Take captive every thought that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. He has given us all things. God has given us all things. So we take captive those thoughts that come to our mind. We know that those words, those lies, are not from God. Because we know that God loved us. We're so separated from God that we're his enemies, we were sinners, we were all the ugly things. But yet Jesus, God the Father, sent his Son to be the sacrifice that would redeem us back to him. So we know that we are loved by God, our Heavenly Father, that how much our Heavenly Father loves us. He's willing to lay down his Son's life so that we can be redeemed if we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We know that we're loved by God because of what he has done and what he is still doing. But sometimes, and we spend times like, Lord, what lies am I believing right now are from Satan? What lies am I believing today, Lord, that are from Satan and not from you? So write them down. And then as we write them down, he says, Lord, I repent of believing this lie that Satan has said about me. Lord, I ask you to close that door of that lie in my life. I pray, Lord, that you help me. I pray, Lord, that you would fortify that wall so I will not listen to that lie any longer. So what lie is Satan trying to shipwreck you? Right? He is trying to shipwreck you because he doesn't want you to hear God's voice. Because if you hear God's voice, your love and awe for him will grow and grow and grow. And you will not hear Satan's voice any longer because you're so in love with God. Your heart's over here. So when we're getting tossed and whipped back and forth, one foot's over here in the world, one foot's in the kingdom, we get tossed back and forth. So we don't know what voice to listen to. But we say, Lord, I'm going to follow you. No matter what's going to happen, no matter what's going to go on, I'm going to follow you because you have the best plan for me. So in one parable, Jesus explains that Satan will attempt to snatch the seed, so God's word, of the heart, out of your heart, as quickly as it came down. That's about the parable of the seed on the rocky soil. So how do we experience this? We hear a great word, and next thing you know, we forget it. We get so excited, and then we forget it because it didn't take root, because we didn't apply it to our life. So, the devil is a liar, the source of many lies. Why would one choose to listen to him rather than to God? That's always a good question. It's easy to believe a lie. So, Lord, help me to believe the truth more so than a lie. Lord, thank you that you're revealing the lies that I may be believing. When we start not believing lies, we're starting to be set free. That our life will come, oh my goodness, those chains will be actually taken off of us. When we don't believe lies any longer, certain lies, chains will fall off. Baggage will fall off. We start to feel freer, more lighter. We stand up straighter because things are not pulling us down. So it takes time. When we hear God's voice, to spend time in his word and time to listen and to say, Lord, here I am. I really want to listen to your voice. Am I willing to wait up 6 days, a week, a month? Keep praying and asking? Am I willing to wait? So, asking the wrong questions. Sometimes you may frantically ask God a question, hear no response, and you quieten yourself. He might show you you're asking the wrong question. You might ask, how can my business prosper? Maybe you should be asking, should I be in business at all? Lord, that's just an example. Lord, am I supposed to be at this job? Lord, am I supposed to be doing what I'm doing today? And sometimes we might not be really ready for his response. Maybe we're running away from God. Look at Jonah. He was running away from God, as far away from God as possible. Are we running away from God? So sometimes we could be asking the wrong questions. Lord, do you want me to go through this open door? And he could say, maybe not yet. When we ask God, should I be doing what, God, I really want to go into this. And this door opens up. But then my next question is, God, do you want me to go through it today? Do you want me to go through it tomorrow? Perhaps he says, maybe not yet. The door is open, but can you imagine God said, not yet? But God, this door is open. I should run right through it. But he's like saying, not yet. I open this door. I am preparing you to go through this door, but I'm having you to wait. And you're like, wait. I don't understand what wait means. What does that have to do? I have to look up in the dictionary. What does waiting mean? Oh, be patient. I got to be patient. I got to grow to trust him. And then God's going to release you to go through that open door. Sometimes he might close a door. And Lord, it's like, why are you closing that door? Because I'm closing it because I don't want you to go through it. Or maybe I'm not ready for you to go through that door. So I'm closing it. So you cannot run ahead of me. Right? So sometimes we're asking the wrong questions. I don't know, hopefully that makes sense. And then fear and confusion of our thoughts with God thoughts. So sometimes our minds are racing and we're like, is this of God or is this of me? I always came up with ideas. When I read one time, it's like, who does it honor? So if you have a hard time, just, you know, it's like this thought comes to your mind. And the question I ask myself, who does it honor? Does it honor myself or does it honor God? Who's going to be glorified in this? If God's not going to be glorified in it, then it's no, it's your thought. Right? Does that make sense? So we have to ask a question. It's like, who does it honor? Who's going to get glorified in this? And so we do things. We live for Christ to honor our Heavenly Father. That's who always needs to be honored in our own lives. Who is it honoring? Who is going to be praised and glorified? Because we ultimately are bondservants. We belong to God. We are here to honor Him, to glorify Him, not us. That's a different gospel. So God promised that you'll be able to know and recognize his voice. John 10, 4 to 5 says, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and his sheep follow him. For they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger. They won't follow a stranger because they know and recognize the voice of God. Animals are great ones. A stranger in a field, the animals will actually run away. If you're the owner of those animals, they know you. They know how you look. They know your voice. And they run to you. That's how, right? Yet, by no means do they follow a stranger, but they flee from him. They do not know the voice of strangers. So the Bible also promises that if you are seeking the Lord, you will find him. So Lord, help me to seek you. Lord, help me to desire you. So in Deuteronomy 4:29 says, but from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. Lord, am I seeking you with all my heart, with all my soul? Lord, am I seeking you? Do I really desire to fellowship with you? And then in the New Testament, James 1:5 says, if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Right? Oh, that's what happened to that page. So, Matthew 6:33. Who wants to read Matthew 6:33? And then somebody can read Acts 17:26-27. And then James 4:8. Okay. Okay? Go ahead.
But seek, aim at, and strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, and then all these things taken together will be given you besides.
So what's Acts 17:26-27? Who wants to read that one? Acts 17:26-27. Do you want to read? I'll waddle over.
For from one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. But it is so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us.
Amen. Amen. See, God has a plan and a purpose why he did things, so people would seek after him. You think of the stars. You think of the mountains, the forests, the outdoors. The creation of this world. We're not worshiping the world. It draws us to, there has to be a creator. There's a person who created all, and that's God Almighty. Our Abba Father, El Shaddai, he's the one who created all this, and it all points to him who spoke and everything came to be. And that's what you're like, my goodness, there is a bigger picture that I'm missing. So what's James 4:8?
Come near to God, and he will come near to you.
Yeah.
Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded.
That's it. So are we? So purify our hearts. Lord, getting right with God. Seek him with all your heart. He's there for you. He wants you to know him. So those verses is amazing how we're supposed to seek after him. He's always with us, but are we seeking him? Many humans learn from experience alone how to distinguish colors. Musicians learn by hearing, right? From the different keys. If you're tone deaf, well, right? And so the same way you learned from God's voice in your spirit through experience, intentionally listening. So you're intentionally listening. You know your best friend calls without a caller ID because you recognize his voice. So will we make mistakes of hearing God's voice? Yes. We will make mistakes. So if you can make a mistake with a friend's voice, you should expect a slip up on hearing God's voice from time to time. But don't let that hold you back. Don't worry about making a mistake. When you write down in your journal, it's like, Lord, is this, am I hearing you correctly? And as you spending time with him, he's going to say, no, you didn't hear correctly. Because how many times do our kids hear us correctly the first time? Huh? How many times do you kids hear us correctly the first time? Right? So do we hear our Father's voice clearly the first time? Not all the time. But he desires us to go to him. Right? So as we go, I hope you could go through this, make together as a family, or there's 5 days. But I just think, I really want us to hear God's voice more clearly. So deal with the sin issues, right? Keep short accounts. And then we can teach and grow in godly character. So, take the time to apply it. And so I left that there. And that's so. Anyways, do you guys want to close in one song? Okay. So I want to pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you're the one who's speaking to us. And help us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you do speak to us. And Lord, help us to hear your voice more clearly and to discern, is the voice from you or is the voice from the one who's defeated? Lord, help us to hear your voice and only your voice. Help us, Lord, to distinguish what voice we're hearing. And Lord, help us to desire to want to know you as you woo us to us. Help us, Lord, to want to get to know you, to be in awe of you, to have a reverence for you, a love and a passion for you and you alone. And Lord, that we wouldn't have a love or a passion for this world, but Lord, we have a love and a passion for the lost who do not know you yet. So Father, we thank you that you have put out people in our hearts to pray for. I thank you, Lord, that you are stirring us to share the truth and not to have fear of man, what man's going to think if we share the truth to them. Lord, help us to respond when you prompt us to speak of you to others. Lord, that we would be responding to you and you to alone so that you be honored and glorified. Help us, Lord, to be attentive to your voice. In Jesus' name.